You know, I know a little bit of your history, and you could have quit, and most people probably would have, but you didn't, and you built something significant out of the ashes of that.
Because you can just get caught up in how terrible of a person you are. And I think I've just kind of made up my mind. I'm like, not made up my mind. I'm resolved. Like, I'm not that great and I'm good with it. Like, you know.
So here's my question. I'm talking about more in the emotional, spiritual side. How do you know when, or what does it look like when you have not guarded your heart?
No, good question. Good question.
I would even state it a little bit uglier. That there's even a sense of entitlement to a next, like somehow you deserve for there to be a next waiting for you. That's just not a fair expectation.
Oh, you're saying you got to create the next?
Not create it, but...
It was the first conference I went to as a senior pastor. They start asking about church and size, and all of a sudden, the insecurity that came out of me shocked me. I mean, I literally remember going back in my room at one of the conferences going, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I remember starting 18 years ago. There's only one other church I know of that has lasted this long in my city that I've been connected to.
I mean, you guys started the Annex, which is legendary around town even now. So many people met their spouse there. So many people met Jesus there. So many people heard you say inappropriate things there. Sometimes because...
Hey guys, this is the Endurance Factor Podcast, and I'm Joey Svensson. Going to be talking to our two main guys here in a second, but we have a new addition to the mix today. I'll be talking to Chip Judd, Greg Surratt, alongside longtime pastor of Mosaic Church in Charlotte, former Seacoast pastor Naeem Fazel. He also authored Ex-Muslim, and soon to be released, his new book is coming out. It's called Tomorrow Needs You. So not only is Naeem what we'd affectionately say at Seacoast as a son of the house, i.e. he's still family. The plan for this one, and you'll hear me set it up with these guys here in a second, there's no real plan with how this is supposed to unfold because we tried something for the first time. I just told Naeem some questions I'm going to be asking, but you'll hear left a lot completely wide open and encourage Naeem to share his heart, struggles, and maybe even ask for some advice. It's neat because these are two guys he and I, for that matter, would go to in real life. Naeem's just willing to let it be something that can be shared publicly. So I thank Naeem for that liberty for us to share. And here's Pastor Greg Surratt, Pastor Chip Judd, Pastor Naeem Fazel, and this knucklehead. Pastor Greg, I just asked Chip, and I want to hear what you have to say. If you could transport yourself to any time period to see any band live in their prime, or just any time period, is there a band on top of your list? And it could be a band that you already saw and you're just like, they're still on top of my list. I'd love to go back to 1975 and see such and such.
Woodstock, if it wasn't raining and I had a direct path to get there. Like a helicopter or something. I would want to see the whole thing. And Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, I've already seen them before, but that would be fun. I've never seen the Rolling Stones, so I would love to see the Rolling Stones.
Yeah. So Naeem Fazel on the podcast, your fam, man. Some other folks may be hearing you for the first time. I don't know how. I think you're probably the most famous pastor in the Christian world right now. I mean.
Wow. You say that to all your guests, don't you?
What would be your go-to music? Like, is there an era that you go, that you point back to for, you know, as the glory days for you?
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's a hard question for me because I grew up in a very, you know, I grew up as an immigrant in a different country listening to Arab music, which was like, you know, the culture. Then, I'm Pakistani, so we had our own music. And then Indians were mostly my friends. And so I had Indian music. So Bollywood was a lot. And then a lot of music we were getting from, that I was getting, this is, you know, 80s, was more British. So we didn't have like the top charts of the US. We had the top charts of the UK. And so we had a lot of UK bands. So, like, I mean, I kind of grew up with Duran Duran, if you guys remember that. Mm-hmm. So I think Christian rock, American rock, classic rock was secondary. But, man, I just listened to all kinds of stuff. I mean, right now my Spotify playlists are just all over the place. So
yeah.
That's why earlier question about like what the band I would want to watch. I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, it'd be cool to see Michael Jackson live in concert if that was possible. You know what I'm saying? That'd be a good one.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that I didn't even think about that for sure. To see Michael Jackson in his prime.
I mean, shoot.
That yeah, there's a band that a lot of people have heard of because they had that one huge radio hit. But Jimmy World, for indie rockers like me and people that were listening to Jimmy Eat World before they got big, they put out an album called Clarity. It's their second full length. And if I could see them perform that album, especially like back in the late 90s, mm-hmm. I think, oh my gosh, I would absolutely love that.
That's awesome.
Hey, Chip, like with the 80s music, that's a little bit beyond, it seems like, cream of the crop of the stuff that you like to listen to. Did you start getting to a point where you're like, oh, 80s music, this is pathetic, man. This is weenie music. I don't even like this stuff. Like, did you have an attitude towards the 80s? Because you were 70s, man. You knew that Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd is where it's at.
Well, the bad news is, Joey, I got saved in 1976.
Oh, yeah. It interrupted all that.
So I went through a period where I didn't listen to secular music.
Gotcha.
So I kind of missed it all. And now going back now with, you know, iTunes and all that and, you know, picking music, I like some of the 80s stuff.
Joey, I'll drop a name here. So I had the same experience that Chip had. I really got radical during the 80s. And so I missed a whole 10 years of music, listened to nothing but Christian music. And fast forward a little bit, I won't tell you all about why, but I was invited to go and meet Bono and have dinner and then go to a concert and all this. And so the funny thing about it was I never listened to any of their music because they were the 1980s. I mean, I heard it from time to time on the classic rock stations. So I had to go OD on especially the, what was the name of the concert and the album?
Joshua Tree.
Yeah. And so they did that whole deal. And so I spent a couple of weeks just listening to nothing but you two and liked it. Yeah, it was good. Now, there's Apple has put – have you guys heard about the new list that Apple put out? Of the top music, they're trying to.
It's very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, it's crazy. They're trying to weed out the advantage that the 70s had. They say it's unfair. And the only unfair thing about it is that all the other music just doesn't add up. So anyway, whatever.
Yeah, it's an interesting list for sure. Pastor Chip, if you had to guess what year Naeem ventured out to start Mosaic, leaving Seacoast, what year would you guess? I mean, it's obviously going to be hard because you weren't around, but if you had to guess, what year was it?
Well, he's what, 17 right now? So he probably did it when he was 13. So, no, that was probably about 2005.
Pretty close. I left in 05.
Here's my process of deduction. I came on staff here about 12 years ago, got involved 13, 14 years ago, and I had come to the annex. Is that what you called it? The annex?
Yeah.
I don't know, a couple of years before that. So I assumed it had to be somewhere in that range. So that's where my guess came from.
Yeah. Well, for our listeners' sake, we are, first of all, just having fun with someone that especially Pastor Greg is super familiar with as they have a history together, worked together for a long time, but we all know and love Naeem, so we're going to have some fun. But I also presented an idea to all three of these guys to get into Naeem's personal business as much as he is willing to share. Whoa. And whoa. Possibly possibly I share like that. What's that?
I like that. Let's get in his business.
And possibly, you know, I even said, take an opportunity to, you know, pick these guys' brains with questions that you'd really be interested to hear their answer. And I'm asking Pastor Greg and Pastor Chip to probe like you would anybody that you care about who is maybe coming to you saying, hey, man, tell me some things that I may not be seeing. But I thought we would just, man, we'd break a lot of ice by asking a super vulnerable question, Naeem. And it's also lighthearted enough to where I'm not uncomfortable asking you. But has there been moments where you have in your humanness legit regretted leaving Seacoast to start a new church? Like just been in tough seasons where it's like, gosh, this is hard. Man, I had it good at Seacoast. Like, has there ever been any moments of regret?
Yeah, like today or today? Yes, 100%. 100%. At first I thought, like, you know, when you go to Christian conferences or church planning conferences, you're around pastors. I mean, you know, they seem to be the most convinced about God's calling in their life. And I've never had that ever in my life. partly because I never, you know, I just knew that I was supposed to, that my life was not going to be my own and I was supposed to be led by God to do certain things. So I never really grew up with a sense of like, I'm born to be a church planter or church pastor or a preacher, evangelist. Like that's my thing. You know, I have no history of that. I have no lineage of that in that sense, you know, where like Pastor Greg's got, you know, family, you know, he's got some, you know, back there. I've got nothing. So I've never really thought like, no, this is what I was called to do forever. So this has been an assignment that's been going on for 18 years. So with that assignment comes with a lot of doubt, you know? So yes, Ashley and I, my wife and I, yeah, we're like, why did we leave again? What were we smoking? You know, things like that. Yeah. So answer is yes.
Yeah. I appreciate that. I think Greg's tickled about what you guys were smoking. Pastor Greg and Chip, feel free, both of y'all chime in at any time. But right now, you kind of have permission just to listen in. And once we work through some questions, you guys, I would love for y'all to have some follow-up questions and maybe some things that you want to just offer to the listenership in general. But Naeem, I think you and I we're relatively around the same age, I think. And I would imagine.
I don't know, bro.
How old are you? How old are you?
I just crossed over.
Did you really? Well, you're only 4 years older than me then. Yeah. So I'm 46, but you know, the little bit I know about you, I know that you're the type of person that wants to grow in areas of weakness. So I would imagine you've been through a season where you really had to grow in some of these areas. Cause I think I've experienced a lot of it too, but I'm curious what your journey has been in regards to the comparison game with other successful pastors. Like if you look at Naeem of 2006 and what your expectations were for Mosaic Church and, you know, did they play out as big as you had in your head? And if not, how did you handle that in the early days? How have you changed in that thought process and where are you at right now with that struggle that we all are going to deal with probably until we die?
Wow. There's a lot of questions, man.
Yeah, you go anywhere you want.
Oh my gosh. As this get more and more vulnerable, I'm going to put these shades on because I've always wanted to do it like a podcast with shade. Is that okay?
I think celebrities do it.
That's awesome.
I like it.
I feel like awesome. I'm safe in here. I'm safe.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I can say anything and I'm protected. But then when I take them off, I'm going to be like exposed. I'm just going to keep them on. If Greg and Chip ask me a question and if it's a little too much, I'm going to put these on.
Put the sunglasses on. Hey, if it's a mental thing for you, you just keep those suckers
on.
Man.
It's emotional. It's not mental. It's emotional.
Oh, okay, man. So, you are a good sport for doing this, for kind of putting yourself out. It's fun.
Oh, God.
It's fun for me.
The amount of things I've gotten in trouble with saying yes, that's a whole book. Yeah. So recently I was talking to a bunch of young church planters that are in their 20s and 30s. And the biggest difference when I started sharing with them, and I think it's really relevant to the question you're asking, is that I struggled with insecurity and doubt, and especially insecurity and inferiority complex my whole life in different ways. But I don't think I realized what I was doing when I became a senior pastor. So when I was on staff at Seacoast, and Greg knows, I mean, Greg, he might even remember this. I remember being a punk intern. No, I wasn't even an intern. I was just attending there. And I walked up to Greg and I said, one day I'm going to work here. And he was like, okay, that's cute. You know, that's great. That's cool. And I can't believe I said that. And then it, you know, eventually happened. And then I became one of the pastors, and, you know, just a great place to grow and to be safe. It was a very safe place to be kind of nurtured into, like, into the ministry, you know. So I don't have bad church experience, you know, because of Seacoast. So one of the things, though, is that I would, you know, compare myself a little bit here and there with other, like, youth pastors or assistant pastors or this, that, that. But it was the first conference I went to as a senior pastor, and they started asking about church and this and size and a lot of questions. And all of a sudden, the insecurity that came out of me shocked me. I mean, I literally remember going back in my room at one of the conferences going, what are you doing? Like, I was talking to myself, like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know. Why are you pretty much lying? And I'm like, because there's a sense of, like, I have to fake a lot to keep up with the room. So I was like, what? I would never say this. I would never feel this, you know? And I think I've gotten better, but the struggle is still there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Man, that's some heavy, honest stuff.
I think it's not unusual at all. Maybe some of it's cultural.
It's unusual for him to be open about it, though.
Yeah. Well, and some of it may be a little bit cultural, you know, coming from a different culture, and, you know, it's not the same as America. And in America, you know, we compete with everybody for everything. It's this, you know, competitive culture. But I hear that all the time, that guys are afraid to go to a conference because it's going to be a, you know, how big is yours, and I'm so insignificant. And, you know, you can come away feeling a little bit inspired while you're in the room and pretty depressed when you get into your room by yourself.
So, Naeem, I just have so much respect for someone who can talk so openly about just super deep and vulnerable stuff. I've always respected you, but it just went through the roof, man. I don't think it's common for us to be so open, because it's scary to be vulnerable with what's going on. So I don't know, I don't know what it's worth for me to have respect for you, but there you go.
Does it come with money? Does it come with money?
Hey, so what, you haven't done what a lot of people refer to as moral failure, at least at a level, there's nothing I know of, but at least you have the church, you haven't had to be removed. It looks like you're living well and you're in the direction of finishing strong. What do you attribute that to? Like, if somebody said, hey, you know, you've been doing this for a long while, and man, I'm seeing peers of yours that are just falling off the rails. What's the secret sauce? What would you say?
Oh, I don't know if there's a secret sauce. I mean, I would say, I think grace is a big thing in my life. God's goodness has been really, I came so close to slipping. I mean, I can just tell you right now, so close. And, and then also, made really terrible decisions as well that, again, I just find myself in moments where I'm like, God, you're really good to me. Like, you don't love me, you like me, because I don't know why you put up with me. So I would say grace has been a huge part of my life. But grace also with myself. I think part of it is connected to my personality. My wife, Ashley, we just celebrated 25 years. You know, she has a hard time giving grace to herself. I don't. And I find pastors and leaders who don't have grace, who don't, you know, have grace for them, for others, or maybe for themselves, they don't last, because you can just get caught up in how terrible of a person you are. And I think I've just kind of made up my mind. I'm like, not made up my mind, but I'm resolved. Like, I'm not that great, and I'm good with it. Like, you know, I'm screwed up, and I am way okay with it. So guys who have been in my life, and they're you know, going for 18 years, and I remember starting 18 years ago, there's only one other church I know of that has lasted this long in my city that I've been connected to. And there have been about 20 of them. Recently, I got talked to a guy who's been going for about 20 years and just kind of ended it and shut it down. But I kind of knew it was happening. And then marriage situation too. And there's another, it's a lot. And I think a lot of it is connected to grace. So that'd be one. It's a spiritual answer, which is, you know, it is true. But it's not the only. I think for me, you know, I love the podcast. I love the book. I love the idea of endurance. To me, you know, finding a outlet that maybe sometimes becomes a place where I cope with certain things. So sometimes it's a good coping in a sense, because it's the community of like fitness community. I do CrossFit. I've been doing it for 10 years. It has really been a huge part of my staying sane in a lot of ways and staying healthy mentally, emotionally. People ask me, I just turned 50. I mean, I think I'm better shape than I was when I was in my 30s for sure. But it's finding this idea of, not finding an idea, but understanding the idea of endurance. I'm kind of known in my gym as the endurance guys, a guy that I can just keep on going, just keep on going. And, so, I mean, I've got a lot to say about how I link endurance of staying in ministry, staying in one of the hardest jobs in the world, and, staying at a pace where you finish pretty well. Might not finish the first, but you'll finish.
Yeah. What is some weaknesses, and you've kind of already touched on some of them, but when you look back on your journey with God, and as we all know, a loving God will prune us sometimes, but are there any other areas that you can pinpoint where God has pruned you and it's hurt?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely felt like punishment. It seemed like, what did I do? What, like, really? Like, are you kidding me right now? Our story, Mosaic story, is that we started off, man, as a rocket ship. I mean, we were like, woo, it was awesome. So I was like, this is going to keep on going. I mean, this is, you know, it's going to keep on happening. And it did not. It actually imploded. And when it imploded, it caused me to kind of second guess, like, okay, so what now? What are we, why? And then there was just a struggle of like, okay, this is a party that does not end. This is something that, am I going to do this? Because it was what I was inspired or called or just got excited about doing, or am I going to keep doing this? Is this a career move, or is this a calling? Is this legit? And so when I realized that this was a long haul, I had to change my strategy on things and understand, like, oh, this is going to be me having to build and build and build. And over the years, you know, God's done some pruning, and I don't know if I know processed all of it, you know. Lost a lot of people. I mean, I heard, here's what really stinks about being a senior pastor. I didn't realize the amount of people that would hurt. I did not know that. I wish someone would have told me, you're going to hurt a lot of people. Because all I thought was, I'm going to save a lot of people. I'm going to inspire a lot of people. I'm going to reach a lot of people. Oh, gosh. I've hurt some people. And that's, you know, professionally making dumb decisions, making immature decisions, hiring them too fast. Man, you just keep on going, man. This podcast could last for sessions.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask three more quicker questions because I'm going to ask you to give yourself a letter grade and feel free not to think about it that much. And then I'd love just to kind of hear what some of what's on the forefront of Pastor Chip and Pastor Greg as far as leaders in our lives, Naeem. And I'd love to hear, you know, some of their takes on some of the stuff that you've shared. But letter grade on how well you are resting currently in this season of life. How would you grade yourself on rest?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. I think 10 years ago, I kind of realized the power of pacing. So I realized that pacing in my life equaled peace, that I didn't need like a day off. I needed to maintain my I had to control my heart rate. Now, it's just kind of spiritual, but also physical. In an endurance workout, when you know it's a long haul, if you lose your heart rate, if you let it spike, if you don't control it, you lose. You burn out quick. And I have transferred that over a lot into me emotionally, spiritually, and it's my heart rate. So my spiritual heart, my emotional heart, if I don't control it, if I lose control of it, I'm going to burn out in season. So right now, it's a crazy season, rebuilding from, COVID, couple of building projects, trying to figure out what that looks like, and then working on a second book and finishing that up. I mean, yeah, I think controlling my heart rate and peace. So I would give myself pretty high marks.
A minus, B plus?
A minus.
Boom. Yes, sir. How much are you processing out loud to a trusted, at least one, to a trusted friend who loves you but isn't impressed with you? What would you grade yourself on that?
Say that again? Who am I?
So,
what?
So as far as having at least one person
Who
you are talking openly and vulnerably, and only you would be able to determine whether or not it's vulnerable, but at least one person where you're talking real things about and they love you, but they're not impressed by you. You've heard Greg use that saying, I'm sure.
Yeah.
How well are you doing with that?
I would say a B. And the reason why I would say a B, like my brother-in-law, you know, he's one of those guys for me in my life. He's not connected to Mosaic, you know. He would be one of those guys. I want to say I'm pretty wide open. I think I sometimes say more than I need to. process out loud more than I should, because I am an out what do you call it a verbal
outward processor a verbal processor.
So you know, I've had people say, well that was vulnerable, and I was like, really? That was just a Tuesday, like I was just talking. Mm-hmm. I didn't know.
Perfect. Last question, and I think you have fully demonstrated your willingness for honesty. So I think a lot of people would probably be squirmy on this one. I know you would give us a straight answer. When you look at your team, and let's just say staff specifically, obviously there's a larger volunteer team, but when it comes to the staff chemistry, the individual lives, if you had to slap a letter grade on the health of your team, what would you guess would be the health of your team?
I mean, so yeah, you know, we just lost a person 2 days ago. It actually went up. I would say it went up after that. I'm just saying, I hope this person doesn't hear it, this podcast. But I mean, nothing wrong with the person. It's just chemistry. You asked for chemistry. The question is chemistry. I think just being on the same page is really like, hey, we're here to build, and this is going to stink. And this is going to be a long haul, and we're going to get tired. And this is, we're going to bleed through this thing. So right now, I would say the team, man, I'd give an A right now. Mm-hmm. I felt like there were some people who were like really, I would build with them, we can go. But then there were others where a lot of people you were dragging. I don't feel like I'm dragging anybody right now. So,
sweet. You know. Well, Pastor Greg, Pastor Chip, people pay you guys big bucks for this kind of thing. All the only cost for Naeem is he just has to share it on a podcast feed. But now he gets free mentoring, consulting, and help to live well and finish strong. Now, seriously, with that level of transparency and just what you've heard, where's your starting point? If Naeem was just flat out, hey, what do you guys think about what I just said? I'd love to get better in life. We're always trying to get better. Where'd y'all start?
I'll kick in to start with. And I would just say, I am very proud of you, Naeem. Very, very proud of you. You have grown a lot. You came from a resource-rich environment. Billy Hornsby used to talk about that. You know, you're in an environment with a lot of resources, Rich. I mean, you guys started the Annex, which is legendary around town even now. So many people met their spouse there. So many people met Jesus there. So many people heard you say inappropriate things there, sometimes because it was a Pakistani kid trying to make me funny with American language. And we've got a lot of those stories, but it was an incredible thing. And a lot of people have been marked for a lifetime from there, a resource-rich environment. And then you left here with a vision, a passion, and took a lot of young folks with you, some of whom worked out well and some of whom really didn't. And, you know, I know a little bit of your history. You know, you guys boomed and then you busted, like you said. And part of the bust was probably, you know, a little bit was probably your own. You didn't know what to do and probably made a few mistakes along the way. But part of it was just Jezebel spirit is a popular thing to say these days. So I won't say it, but I'll say there was a spirit. There was an evilness that went through and did some things, you know, and you could have quit, and most people probably would have, but you didn't, and you built something significant out of the ashes of that and allowed God to do that. And I think you've got a healthy church. You know, it's not perfect. There aren't any. I love your wife. I think you did well there, and she loves you, and she loves God. You've got kids that love their parents and love God. It's a win all the way through. And the church is great. I mean, I've been up there, and it's healthy. It's fun. It's you. It's, you know, transparent and great. So I'm not going to give you – I'm going to give you an A. I think you've done very well with what you've been given.
Thank you. You're biased, though, but I'll take a biased grade. I don't care.
Absolutely. I don't hide that a bit.
What's on your mind, Pastor Chip?
I mean, I would echo all of that. I mean, I'm privy to some of the journey, a little bit of the Timex watch, you know, you get kicked around, but you keep on ticking. I mean, Naeem, you said it earlier that you were drawn to the word endurance. This whole journey is not about doing everything right. It's just how you get through when you don't, and how you deal with the people that hurt you. And I love that you drew attention to the fact of the people you hurt. I probably spend more time thinking about that now than I do the people that have hurt me. So, I mean, I love some of the things you're zeroing in on. Just sort of summary thoughts, but then I did want to ask you a question. You know, when I go into a place that I don't know, you know how you are when we're communicators like we are. You have these cute ways you set thoughts up and questions up. And I'll set up, you know, what's the most important person I want to meet when I go into a church and I want to figure out what the leader's really like? What would you say, Naeem? If I want to know Naeem, who's the person I want to meet?
I mean, I would say, I mean, Ashley works on staff. You mean staff person?
Well, it doesn't matter. I don't care if she works on staff or not. You pick the right person. I don't care if she isn't on staff. She's still the best indicator of the man that you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So any leader, I don't care how big his church is. I don't care how many books he's written. I don't care anything. If I meet his wife and she doesn't look cherished and cared for, I know there's problems. Because if his wife's not being cherished, his staff's probably not either. Mm. So that's the first place I start. And I would say you get pretty high grades for that. I'm not really going to grade you, but I'm just saying I've been around you guys enough to know that your marriage is a really high priority in your life. And, you know, I mean, when I go in somewhere, when I'm the kind of things I'm looking at are that, and that's probably a little different for most consulting type people. Cause I believe you teach what you know, you reproduce what you are. So I want to know what you are, not what you're capable of doing. And I think meeting your wife's the best, quickest way to get to who you are and what you are. And then the next thing I look at is, you know, the kind of people you attract and retain, you know, leaders, followers, et cetera. You know, I like your thought about, I can't remember exactly how you worded it, but the thing about your heart and, you know, like your pace, and you connected it to cross training.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how you, if you don't watch that, you can get out of whack. So here's my question. What I'm talking about more in the emotional, spiritual side. How do you know when, or what does it look like when you have not guarded your heart and you're...
Yeah. No, good question. Good question. So I think for me, enlightening moment was I think it was during COVID. No, it was right after COVID. Anyways, I was in a TV room. We only have two TVs in the house, but it was one room has a TV, and I'm there doing my thing, and my son walks in, and I'm watching The Office, which is the comedy show. Watching The Office, and I was eating chips, okay, and then he walked in, saw me watch The Office, and he was like, he said, you're going through anxiety. And I was like, what? And he's too smart for his own good. And he was like, if people keep watching the same show and eating the same food, they're coping their anxiety. And I was like, shut up. Like, I was like, listen, punk. Okay. And yeah. He left. And I was sitting there eating chips going, yeah. I was only eating one particular kind of brand of chips. It was like yellow corn chips from Target, watching the same show. And I had finished watching it. I was rewatching it. I had no interest in watching any other show. I was like, this is what I do. This makes me happy. And he was like, well, that was a moment where I was like, hold up. He was like, I think you're anxious. I didn't even know I was anxious. Mm. I didn't even know I was managing my anxiety and stress. So I think for me, knowing there's a lot of me I don't know about me is pretty interesting for me. I think that's part of it. Like starting asking myself, like, hey, what am I doing this? What's going on here? Like, right. You know, like, I think, I mean, I already talk to myself a lot, which Ashley finds funny, and she's always, always interrupting a conversation I'm having with myself. But, I've realized that first I thought it was a goofy thing to do, but now I tell people, you need to talk to yourself more than you let your thoughts tell you what you are. Like, you need to tell yourself who you are, or you tell yourself some stuff.
Right.
Instead of just letting your mind and your heart tell you. So I think that's part of it, asking questions like, hey, why am I doing this? For example, like, hey, why do I find this this person really interesting? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, why do I keep looking back at this this Instagram profile? Like, hey, why am I now going back into Facebook and looking up past relationships? Why am I doing this? Like, mm-hmm. So I think those tough questions have kept me kind of going. I'm not saying I'm fixing it. I'm just saying I see it. Does that make sense? Like, yeah, something's happened and your heart rate just spikes. You know, you just, it happens. I think my reaction to it is I'm learning to ask myself before I, you know, like, why are you mad? Like, why are you angry? Why are you so ticked off? Why, you know, why are you so short with this person? Like, why did you just shut the phone on your mom? You know, which recently happened, you know, I think that helps me control my heart rate. Not that it does it, but at least lets me go, hey, breathe. Just breathe a little bit. It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I think in the past, like someone who was going to transition off staff and I didn't know would give me a serious panic, you know, like, oh, God. And now I'm like, okay.
We'll figure it
out. Why, how, you know, what you just said, we all deal with. Someone on staff, it's not a surprise to them because they've been thinking about it for a while and probably talking to some folks. But you feel like you're the last one to know, or even when you're the first one to know, I think that's a pretty normal reaction to go, oh my, wow, what am I going to do here? Or this is going to be a disaster, or we'll never replace them. Those type of thoughts go into people's minds. Why are you able to kind of stop that deal? Is it experience? You've been there long enough. You know, it's not as big a catastrophe as you thought it was going to be because you've survived. What is it?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of things. It's not like that. I have developed more faith in my life about God or with God that things are going to be better. I think I do a better job remembering. So so for me, I mean, I tell myself this, it's like, it's not how much faith you have. It's how much of the ability you have to remember. So like, it's like remembering that you've been here before and God showed up, or remembering, hey, remember that happened and this, it wasn't that bad. Because sometimes I think like for me, my natural reaction is going to maybe, I don't know, it'll change eventually, but it's like, okay, I just gotta believe more. I gotta believe that God is able. I gotta believe. And I think for me, telling myself to believe is not the answer. Telling myself to remember is better. And so when I remember the things of the past, I remember the goodness. I remember like, wow, that could have gone seriously bad, and it wasn't as bad. This could have been like, I could have never come out of this, and we did. That kind of helps me go, okay, you know, like, so I don't know if the future, I don't know if I have faith for the future, but I do remember the past.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man, this has been awesome, Naeem. I really do. I love spending time with you, and I love your honesty. I consider myself a fairly honest person, but it challenges me to be even more honest. And I told you before we were coming on here that you get an opportunity to ask these guys some questions about anything that you're genuinely interested in your current life. So you got any questions you want to ask these guys before we wrap things up?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I sometimes think of my life as like a decades, right? So I'm like, I just hit 50 like a couple of months ago. And so I'm thinking, okay, so my 50s to until I hit 60, I'm learning that I'm a different kind of person and I care about different things. What do you think I need to be doing to set myself up for turning 60? You know, I'm thinking of like, you know, Greg, I mean,
Succession.
Yeah. It's legendary. Yeah. It's legendary. I mean, I've talked to several pastors, like, how did he do it? How did they do it? You know? And I just tell them, you know, well, Josh is great. So that's the problem. You don't have a Josh. So, but you've done that. So I'm like, you know, how do I land this plane? Does that make sense? Like, how do I, I don't want to, like, at some point, I got to give this over to someone else to keep flying or I'm going to crash. Mm-hmm. So, but what do I need to do?
I think you do a couple of things. Number one, you keep doing whatever it is, the last thing God told you to do, and keep pursuing that with a passion. I think that numbers are interesting. If I did something wrong, I did a lot of things wrong, but I gave the number 65 a bigger value than what it deserved. Well, I had this idea that I've got to be financially set by 65. I've got to, we're going to wrap things up at 65 and start winding down at 65. And if anything, and then people came into my life with prophetic words that the next season would be, you know, the best season. And you hear that and you're hopeful, but you wonder, are they just being nice to me? Have they really heard God? You know what? And I'm standing on the other side of 65. I'm 68, saying, oh my goodness, 65 didn't mean a thing other than to, you know, the government. A song that I have been meditating on recently, maybe it's because of my age, but it's a Toby Keith song that he wrote about Clint Eastwood. Actually, he asked Clint Eastwood, how do you keep doing it at 90? And Clint Eastwood said, just don't let the old man in. Don't let the old man in. And then in the song, it's got this line, how old would you be if you didn't know the day that you were born? And, you know, that's pretty powerful. How old would you be if you didn't know the day you were born? So one thing I would say is, you know, numbers are numbers and they're helpful and sometimes not as much. Do the last thing that God's called you to do. And then be aware of who could carry on what God has given you to do. Elijah, when Elijah got burnt out, you know, after this big victory and he goes down, he's going to kill himself. And God, I'm the only one. And my ministry hadn't meant all that much. And God says, no, there's 7,000 other. And hey, by the way, take a nap. And after you're done with the nap, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go lay hands on your successor. And so God already had that out there for him. I don't think you should be stressed over that, but I think you should be watching for that and watching for who is God bringing in your life that you can invest in. And it'll come with heartache, you know, I mean, everything does, but it'll also be a blessing as it happens. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I would say, be open to God placing a dream in your heart for the next years that is consuming. And whether that's writing a book, teaching a class, you know, creating a community, I don't know what it is, but God will, my deal is, you know, I've got a couple of deals is, you know, take your pulse. If you've got a pulse, God's got a plan, and his plan doesn't end at age 60 or 50 for you, or 70, or like Chip, 85. You know, his plan doesn't end.
Dang, Chip.
So long as you've got a pulse, God's got a plan. And then I love, you know, Moses thinks he blew it, and he's, you know, what his best years are behind him, and he's in a foreign country and he doesn't know anybody. And here's what he doesn't know that he should know, is that the thing that he would be remembered for, he hadn't done yet. And it's entirely possible that in Naeem's life, while he's done a lot of great things, written good things, led a good church, it's possible that in your 60s, that you're going to do something that you'll become known for, even more so than the things that you've done in your past. Mm. And so, anyway, that's my 2 cents worth.
Mm. Awesome. Thank you.
The main thing to me that I've watched inhibit transition, succession, whatever, probably three things. One is not having a next, not having a season of life that you've prepared for that you're excited about. And that includes, you know, your marriage, your parenting, your finances, but also your, like Greg said, a purpose that you're that you see beyond your current assignment. That's one. Two is waiting too long to start transition. I think you should start transition probably 5 to 10 years sooner than you think. In a way, Greg did that without knowing he did that by having a son in the house who came up into the mix of things. I don't know that he was consciously grooming inmate. I mean, he probably was in the sense of desiring, but think about it before you think you should. Like, I don't think it's wrong for you to be thinking about it now. Seemed like I had a third one, but I think I lost it.
It's the age.
What? Yeah, 85. That's right. Yeah, that's totally.
I mean, the other thing that inhibits, one is not having a next. Two is not having a successor because you haven't done your homework and developed one, recognized one, made room for one. And then the third thing is typically one of the biggest hurdles is just money. Just money.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, let's say you're going to transition your church. I don't know they're going to pay your salary for the rest of your life. So, So just the money side of it. And money can make you make some really bad decisions for yourself and your church.
Yeah. No, this is great, guys. Yeah.
But if it wasn't great, you wouldn't say it. I mean, you wouldn't say, daggum, this isn't helpful.
He's about to leave, so we'll talk.
Yeah. What a waste of time, man. I could have been doing so many other things.
No, you know what is one of the things that you both said, and I think this is really interesting. It's like basically what I heard, at least, is like you can't transition to the next thing if you don't have a next dream to go to. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So I was like, because I feel like I've talked to some people, like some pastors who are older guys who are looking for the next, you know, and they were trying to get me to be the next, you know. And I think part of it, I was like, I think they didn't have a next to go to. I was like, is really interesting that I really need to start dreaming right now.
Yeah. And I would even state it a little bit uglier that there's even a sense of entitlement to a next. Like somehow you deserve for there to be a next waiting for you. And that's just not a fair expectation.
Oh, you're saying you've got to create the next.
Not create it, but live in such a way that you become someone who's earned it. Whether it's some mindset, some skill set, something that you have of value to continue to give. In other words, it's not an entitlement to your age.
Can I say something a little controversial? It's not going to hurt you, Naeem.
It's your podcast, sir.
Yeah, yeah. But so if I'm a young guy and thinking about being the next guy at a church, if the lead pastor there doesn't have a really, really clear, strong, I'm going to do this next and I can't hardly wait to do it, I wouldn't go there. I recently talked to a guy that's been waiting out a long transition and it's not going to happen. Yeah. Okay. It's just not going to happen because a lot of things happen. New guy comes in to maybe be a part of that. Old guy gets a second wind and, hey, I'm feeling something here. You know, I've heard that story several times. If they don't have that strong next, they are going to meddle back into and make it difficult for you. It's not a question of if, it will happen. And so I would want, if I'm a younger guy looking at maybe I'm going to step into some shoes here, I need to know they are real clear on what they're going to do and when, and it's going to be pretty soon.
I'll tell you another big one. I agree with that entirely. Another big one I've seen is make sure your spouse is ready
to
make the transition.
Totally. Mm. Yep. Mm. If mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. If daddy ain't happy, nobody cares. Yeah.
All right, I got to run, man.
All right.
Love you, Naeem.
Thank you, Chip. Love you, bro. Thank you so much.
Love most of the rest of you.
Oh man,
Naeem! Before we wrap, you want to work in another question for Pastor Greg here?
I don't know that
was the main one.
I did want to say something about what he was talking about. I was thinking about the example that you brought up about the person, waiting along for this person to transition on. And I was just thinking about this. I was like, if you don't know of the senior pastor's dream, if you're not clear about their next dream, they're going to be your nightmare. Right. So that's pretty much what I'm thinking. I'm like, like that's the reality. And it's so true. It's so true. Let's see. Another question. I think like, I think there's, okay. So Greg, I mean, you, I feel like you've done this so well. When you look back to your, like, when I look back to my 30s, I think, oh man, in my 30s, I should have done this. I should have done more of this. In my 40s, I should have done more of this. You know, people talk about not having any regrets. And I just, I mean, no offense to anybody. I'm like, I don't know if that's a real person. I have regrets. I mean, I'm not living them out and depressed about them. But yeah, I regret things. So when I hit 60, when I look at my 50s, what do you think I'm going to be saying? I wish I did more of what?
Oh, that's a real good question.
With you, I would say, and I don't even know what you're doing with that, but taking more time to write a little bit every day, because I think you have things inside of you. You might regret, you know, prioritizing people over family. I don't know how you guys do on that. It looks like the kids are pretty healthy and strong, except for I'd tell your son just to get lost when he comes in and gives advice like that. You know, tell him go back and take wait for that kind of advice until second year psych. Okay, second year, not first year.
Right,
but right, he's right. A good kid. You know, family a little bit. I think you need to learn how to, and you're doing that pretty well. Learning how to rest, you need to learn how to play. I don't think you'll regret that. I always say, just if I was talking to 60-year-old, talking to 30-year-old Greg, I would say have more of an attitude of don't sweat the small stuff, and everything is small stuff, you know, and the small stuff are things like that sermon didn't go that well. Do you know how long people remember your sermon? About till they get in the parking lot, you know, and there was some kind of an event somebody was telling me about recently where they asked the pastors, what did you preach about 2 weeks ago? They couldn't remember what they preached about. And yet we put so much stress on ourselves to get it right and be good. And you need to, you know, excellence is good, but most things are small stuff. Even staff disruptions over time are probably smaller than we think they are. I always say to myself, what's this going to look like in a year? You know, how much am I going to care? But we've done this. Now, this is one of those. And I've violated this so many times. If there's something I could change, I'd change this. Every time we build a building, every time we do something new, it costs more, it's harder, and it takes longer than we thought it was going to take. And we're surprised by each one of those. You're going to have a fight with the town. Final inspection is not going to go well, because somebody's going to power up and maybe they're going to be new and all of this. Those things happen. And you go, am I even going to think about this in a year? No, probably not. Well, don't get too stressed about it right now.
Right.
So anyway, that's my take.
No, that's good. That's good. It's really good.
Sweet. Did you get your money's worth now?
I did.
Hey, Naeem, tell people. So it's a longer ago release, but you wrote Ex-Muslim, and then you actually have, I think Pastor Kristen kind of heads it up more, but you guys have a podcast at Mosaic. Remind me of the name of it again.
Yeah, that's called Becoming Church.
Becoming the Church, yep.
Yeah, my picture's on it, but I'm never on it. You're familiar with it. Yeah, you interview all kinds of authors and people. That's awesome.
Yeah, are you telling people a little bit about what you're writing now? You talked about a second release.
So I'm writing a book called Tomorrow Needs You. It's really essentially about post-traumatic growth. And I think for me, it is one of the hardest things I've done. Because my first book, I had a collaborator, you know, her name's on the book, and she was great. This one, I am, physically writing all the words. Which, you know, again, for me, English not being my first language, dyslexia, dysgraphia, all those things, throw it in there. And it's been one of the hardest things I've had to do. And it's talking about, regardless of your past, why God wants you to create a beautiful future and how he wants to help you do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome.
One more thing before you go, I'm looking in a teleprompter right now at your face. And by the way, if you do a lot of Zoom calls, get a teleprompter. It's awesome. But so that you can actually look at people. But my name is in lower caps. Chip's name is lower caps. Joey is lower caps. And Naeem is all caps. I think there's an issue there. And Chip's gone. I'm not qualified. I didn't do second year psych. Maybe your son would know, but there's a problem.
He would. But we're not going to share this podcast with him.